Lime, duh.
Yeah. Woo! Let's do it again, baby! Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid. So sometimes appearances aren't what they are.
AKA, sometimes appearances aren't what they are. AKA Donsky Blackamora, AKA Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy.
I loathe myself.
Erase your mind.
Throw more, Mr. Nice Cube.
AKA the modern day goof and spoof, Haraja, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gubba, gubba, wee, coming at you, gubba, wee, yeah, this girl, she's mine, and speaking of, this man is all elite, hum, Miro, damn, she's fine. Coming at you, everybody. Thanks for waking up with us. Wake and bake, wake and shake is what I say, baby. We are going to commute from our bed to our desk. All right, everybody. What up? We're back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Oh, man. I got to take the old sip of the LaCroix. Delicious. And before we get into talking about all the spice that is pro wrestling, remember, this podcast is grassroots. If you want to support the show, and a lot more of you listen to the show than support it. I know that for a fact, today is the day where you turn it around. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, but we're never, ever, ever asking for handouts. We provide you with the spiciest, hottest bonus content out there in the world of the professional wrestling universe. Many would argue we put out too much bonus content. we have every single week our bonus AEW NXT centric episodes come out Friday morning with me and the super mark Nick Tulo. That'll be coming out this week. He and I are disagreeing a lot lately, so make sure you tune into that. And also, every single Tuesday night, it changes based on the pay-per-view schedule, but every single week, normally earlier in the week, Aaron and I do the Cow Movie Club, where we dissect a movie with a professional wrestler in it to an unhealthy degree. Aaron, who I haven't introduced yet, the First Lady, Aaron.
What up?
Aaron, what movie can the people, what are we talking about this week on the podcast, and what can they expect us to discuss next week?
Oh my gosh. This week we discuss the 2015 classic Heist, starring Robert De Niro, King of the Cow Movie Club, Dave Bautista,
yeah,
Morris Chestnut, Mark Paul Gossler, and more.
Gina Carano, Kate Bosworth,
yeah.
The comedian, other folks.
Mm-hmm.
The comedian from Watchmen.
Jeffrey
What's
Dean Morgan, yeah. JDM, and
anti-masker Gina Carano.
Yeah.
Oh, is she anti-masker. She's also anti-good acting.
Yeah.
One of the worst actors I've ever seen. Not sure how she gets work. From her one fight against Cyborg 20 years ago, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Later this week, we have a bonus episode where we're going to watch and discuss the movie Spree, which is new and now available on video on demand, starring friend of the show, David Arquette.
Friend of the show and former WCW champion, yes. David Arquette. By the way, you can check out my interview with Mr. David Arquette on the main feed right now. Mm-hmm. Also, you can check out another bonus episode of me discussing All Out. There's one of me discussing All Out with Aaron Finnerty. Yep, and there's also one me discussing PWG and All Out with Nick Weiger from the Doughboys. Those are that episode is on the main feed also as a little bonus for you. So, I mean, can we give you more incentive to support this podcast? Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. And actually, you know what? The truth is we can and we will. I'm introducing a new incentive to sign up for the Patreon. So starting right now, I don't know what the number is now, but when we get five more patrons, I'll just make it five, right? Once we get five more patrons, Sheffield, I know this is a great deal. My dogs are going nuts. The next five patrons we get, okay, once we get five, I will release an episode that's already been in the works, which is the RKO tribute episode, wow, hosted by Jason Shapiro, my closest friend, who is an expert on a self-proclaimed expert of the RKO. He loves to rate stuff. We'll be rating the best RKOs of all time and discussing how you rate an RKO. So that bonus episode will go up on the Patreon, and you can sign up at any level, and this episode will go for any level. So that's all. Just five more patrons. How about that?
That's easy. And this sounds like an episode you really must hear.
The tribute to Randall Keith, King of the Quarantine, the best wrestler of 2020, having the best year of his career. Anyway, by the way, cash-ins are back on the podcast. All you got to do is leave us a voicemail, 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind.
Gabba-gabba-wee.
Good. Let's get into it. Before we talk specifically about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, and all the wrestling stuff, if you leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, and in the comments, say a wrestler that is one of your guys, we give you a congratulatory shout-out here. And we had one this week. We have from Gringo Star 3. You know, is what it is. Gringo Star 3 says, very funny show, always entertaining, and Dan Black is one of my guys.
Congratulations.
Wow. You know, it's just, I'm just happy to be mentioned. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Just to be up there in the ranks of Tubi and the other Tubi. Great streaming services that are one of my guys. Anyway, so much to talk about in wrestling. And what a great way to kick it off by me becoming somebody's guy. You know what I mean?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
But listen, I have so much written down, like, all over the place. I said to you guys before we started, like, I don't even know where to start. And the thing is, the place we have to start, to be honest, is somewhere I don't really care to talk about, but I was thinking about it, and I think it's really important for us specifically to talk about, which is this Vince decree that's out of the ring, which is Vince saying that that the wrestlers are not allowed to be using third-party platforms. Is that what it's called, the term? But anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Erin, who actually has a special report for us. She's on, you know, also the only Kasparin of the correspondent of the Regular Guy News podcast via the Dan Black Attack podcast. And so, Erin, I think this is going to be a special report, giving us all everything that we need to know about this. Erin. Okay, Erin.
Thank you.
All right, Erin.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for that. So last weekend, many, many of you already know this, a mandate was issued originally over a phone call, and then it was put into writing by Vince McMahon to WWE talent to cease all engagement with third parties, using their name and likeness in ways that are, quote, detrimental to the company by Friday, October 2nd. Violations will result in fines, suspension, or termination at WWE's discretion. He said that he saw that these actions were necessary as they enter the next phase of growth at WWE. So, Sammy Guevara. There was also language pointed out, I guess, in their contracts that Vince also owns WWE talent's actual names. Right. So even if like your Instagram is under, you know, your real name, it still falls under the purview of your contract with WWE. So
what?
Yeah.
That was going to be my main question.
Yeah. I didn't read the actual language, but it's out there. And I guess that claim is legitimate, but I don't know about that.
Okay.
So word is, there's some rumors going around that this was a reaction to AJ Styles revealing his COVID-19 diagnosis on his Twitch stream. And we don't really cite him as a source on this show, yeah. But Dave Meltzer also said that he said the straw that broke the camel's back was Lana promoting Bang energy drink on her Instagram.
Right.
So after that, the artist formerly known as Rusev, Miro,
right.
And Lana both like clapped back and said that was bullshit. There was just no truth to Meltzer's report. But other former superstars, talent like Renee Young, CM Punk, Mick Foley, all on social media basically said that this was bullshit. So the ban would...
Wait, they spoke out... Renee Young spoke out against this decree?
Yeah,
I'm calling it a decree, even though mandate is what they're calling it.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. It's a king's decree, right?
Right. She made like a snarky, I think, tweet... about this king's decree. And right. So this ban essentially would bar talent at WWE's discretion from having a Twitch stream or a YouTube channel like Asuka's, which is very popular, or even going so far as to have them take down their pro wrestling tees store. There's NXT talent and tons of talent. There's a list on our Facebook group of people who have merch on PWT that would possibly be taken down, and possibly restrictions on social media posts and appearances on podcasts.
So,
is troubling.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a really complicated area of WWE's business model, right. I feel like. Right?
Is this thing on?
Oh my God. It is the chairman of the board.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
It's in Kennedy McMahon. Mr. McMahon.
Is it really you?
I'm sorry. I didn't even have your music queued up.
It's all right.
How would you have known?
Wow. Mr. McMahon, I guess you have commandeered Newman's feet here. I heard some rumors that you might be stopping by, actually, because it seems like everything at WWE leaks. But
and Newman's feed is particularly vulnerable.
Yeah, I know it is because Newman is still on dial-up. But Mr. McMahon, why are you here? What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, look. The thing you have to understand is that I listen to this podcast all the time. It was actually brought to my attention by Dolph Ziggler, one of my WWE superstars. He's on this show a lot, and I knew you were going to be talking about this, and I came to dispel some of these rumors that I've already heard you guys espouse.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just so you know, before you try to call me a hypocrite for coming on a third party, I'm broadcasting through my own WWE social media app to this. So it's actually a fourth party platform.
Okay.
So third party, not okay. Fourth party does not violate your decree. Okay, got it.
Yeah, sounds like you're going to stop letting wrestlers come on this podcast, but you're allowed to come on this podcast because you have your own kind of billionaire broadcast system.
Yes, exactly. I'm the one in charge, and it goes different for me when I do it. Now look.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
I already heard you say that what a lot of people think, which is that I made this decree because AJ Styles announced that he had COVID on his Twitch stream. That's not true. Okay. I told him to announce that he had COVID on his Twitch stream.
Oh.
For legal reasons, I needed him to come clean about having it. He's a denier. He thinks it's a hoax. This guy's walking around with COVID, pretending like he doesn't have it.
Right.
I had to tell him to. He had to say it. So that, no, that wasn't why.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, not yeah, because Vince AJ was he. AJ claimed he took 2 weeks off, but I don't think anybody remembers him taking 2 weeks off.
He didn't take two weeks off.
The math was not good with that. The math was not good there.
I begged. Well, his math is not his strong suit among many things. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I begged him to do it. Okay, I begged him to say that it wasn't that. It wasn't Lana either. I don't give a damn about Bang energy drink. All right, I'm a Monster energy drink guy myself. I don't mess with Bang. That's fine. Okay.
Wow. Was that an endorsement or just as an aside?
And look, when you're as rich as I am, everything you say is an endorsement, Dan Black.
All right.
The reason I'm here, the reason that I made this decree is specifically because of superstars like Dolph Ziggler coming on this podcast. It's specifically because superstars like John Hennigan coming on this podcast. It's specifically because of all of these superstars coming on this awful podcast. It is ruining WWE's bottom line. This podcast specifically is doing the most damage to this brand.
No, Vince, dude, listen. All right, I was happy to talk to you here, but now you're kind of crossing the line. So how this podcast? Okay, so this
puppets.
Podcast. No, okay, no, yeah, that's in your song. We know that. Okay, and listen, how is this podcast at all hurting the bottom line of WWE? I mean, our patrons of this podcast, that's how we make our money, patreon.com/comedians wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they're all subscribers of the WWE network. Like, we talk about your product. They can't even watch it or understand this podcast without having the network. So what is your argument, man?
You want to know why? Because every time somebody shows up on this podcast and someone watches it and they see that's a WWE superstar on this garbage, they associate this trash with my product. It's by proxy, Dan. You're destroying the WWE, the very thing you love. Every time you have Nick Namath, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, TM, it destroys WWE.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Did you? So what specifically has any of these wrestlers said that you thought was? And what do we do on this podcast that is a direct insult to you? I mean, come on, what are you even saying, man?
Do you know how hard it was to explain to my shareholders why Dolph Ziggler is super kicking Skylar Astin on shitty basement stage in New York City?
I think you could have ignored that. This seems to be more of just like a thorn in your side that's completely unnecessary. It sounds like you should just focus on the bigger picture, man. Not that many people listen to this podcast compared to watching your show. I think you're micro-focused on us.
Look, you understand. Look, if every time one of your dogs, your 16 dogs, took a dump, I put a picture of you next to it, people would start associating you with that dump. You get what I'm saying? And so every time John Hennigan and his gorgeous abs are on this podcast, they look at his abs and they look at the rest of you jamokes, okay? And they go, ugh, yuck, I'm not going to watch John Hennigan on WWE. And they turn off the TV.
Okay, Vince, okay, fine. All right, so this podcast is specifically why. Fine. But let me say, so Ziggler, you know, other wrestlers, they've came on here to promote stuff. Don't you think that spreads out the brand? How are you going to offer, you know, and how are you going to offer these kind of incentives and this kind of promotion in-house? What's the plan?
Look, I just sunk so much money into like 10,000 Lenovo flat screen TVs, okay?
For the Lenovo.
I don't have. They're top of the line, okay? They're top of the line. I got them all from Best Buy. They were floor models, so I saved a little bit of dough that way. But look, this stuff is expensive, man. I need people tuning in exclusively to the WWE. I'm making my stop here. I'm gonna head over to some other somehow shittier podcasts eventually, and I'm gonna tell them the same thing I'm telling you. You're fired.
Okay. Well, okay. So listen, I just like to say, like, guys like New Day, they're making a lot of money right now on Up, Up, Down, Down, right? You know, they might be making enough money where they could just say, hey, I don't need to go wrestle in WWE because I have this channel. How are you going to make it worth their while when you cut off some of their income supply? What's the plan there?
No, the plan is to, I'm going to launch my own gaming network called Snitch, and it's going to be You get an account if you tell on your coworkers that they're on a third party. So you come on a snitch and you can stream.
Oh, wow. It sounds like the XFL all over again.
What's that? I've never heard of that. I've never heard of what are those letters?
XFL?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's the football league that you you tried to launch two times.
Never heard of it.
It's like the, you know, like Pennywise comes every 27 years. The XFL comes every 20 years. You come back with XFL.
All right. Never heard of it. It must be something you're making up. Never heard of it.
Okay, Vince. All right, Vince. So, Vince, I heard the last thing I want to ask you is Cameo. You're going to make people come off of Cameo. So, how are you gonna pay people for the Cameo money they're losing?
Every time somebody wants to go on Cameo, let's say it's R-Truth. He wants to go on Cameo. Every time he gets a request, I'm just going to give him like $50.
Oh, I'm just going to pull off a 50 and hand it to him.
I'm just going
to
give him like a cool 50 spot to stay off of Cameo.
All right, well, Vince, why don't you, I feel like your plan's a little messed up. You're buying a bunch of Lenovos. Why don't you just make WWE Cameo, make a deal with Cameo, and then you can have the WWE section of Cameo, and you'll get a cut of all the cameos, and they can use their gimmick names.
Look, I'm man enough to admit that's a good idea. However, However, it was hatched on this pile of a podcast. Right. It was hatched by a brain like yours, where you got a couple of dumbbells knocking around in there. Sure, you're beefy, but you don't got the height, Dan. All right?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So that's why it's not going to be my idea, because I didn't think of it.
Okay.
You can stay on here on this stinky little podcast you got.
All right. Well, Vince, if you're just going to be here to insult me, then I think it's time for you to get off of my podcast feed. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I got to go anyway. Shane is in my garage filming Raw Underground. I got to kick him out.
Oh my God! All right. Well, did you? Oh yeah. Wait. Okay. All right.
Shane, keep it down. I gotta go.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. Well, you heard from Vincent Kennedy McMahon. It seems to be no real plan to take care of the superstars after he kicks them off. But you know, like the thing is, like with this situation, is that like, you know. The real problem is the 1099 issue, because there are good arguments. I could see the argument that, like, hey, we create these wrestlers and we create these talents in the image. Like, we create the characters they're playing, and then they kind of use them to make money outside of it, right? But first up, a couple things. If they were employees, if they weren't independent contractors, then we could have more of a conversation about that. But you don't get to just like this is the reason I think it's important to talk about it. People understand it's like these employees are not unionized, and you can't say that they're not employees of the company. They're just contractors, and then they can't do other jobs and other stuff. And especially, fine, you know, they're not allowed to call themselves like Sheamus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, then fine, they should be able to go on Cameo on their real names. Like that's right. I feel like he'll lose in court over that. Like it's not legal what he's saying. And also, like WWE, because WWE, the tricky thing is that WWE wrestling, what's so great about it, what we love about it, is the work shoot element of it. That, like, Dolph Ziggler's a guy we know, right? And we call him Dolph Ziggler. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Evans comes in to the podcast. We're not going to be like, oh, Cap. What's up, Cap? Like, and if we did it, you do it once as a joke. And then if you kept doing it, it would be all awkward. Ziggler, you can literally just be like, yo, Ziggler. Like, these guys become these characters, and that's just what that business is. That doesn't mean Vince owns the human being, because the business transcends characters more than other acting jobs. It's just, it's kind of just a consequence of this business, is that they kind of get to take their characters home with them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder how it also hurts their career. Well, you can also make that it kind of hurts their career, because it's hard to book acting stuff a lot of the times when you're associated with another character. So it's hard to, you know what I mean? So, like, it's also hard to be like, when you're trying to do other things. So you can't say, oh, I own the other stuff you do also, when that's all, you're already at a disadvantage from playing this character. It's bullshit. It's straight up bullshit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder how legal it is even to be like, why we also own your real names. Like, unless it's in the contract somewhere where it's like, we own your name, your likeness. Like, I don't even think that that's possible for somebody to own somebody else's like actual government name. Like, it's,
I don't think that there's any way to own someone's name legally, like your birth name.
I don't actually know,
but yeah. I doubt it. I'm sure there's, I think it's more about, this is why unions exist. It's more about the threat of being sued by WWE, which would cost you a crippling amount of money, even if it's an illegal lawsuit. Just right. to get it thrown out, you need to have lawyers, and these wrestlers, a lot of them don't have that kind of money. So, like, you know, this is just this is.
I just found there's like a screen grab of the language that's in the contract regarding intellectual property, and two of the clauses say all service marks, trademarks, blah blah blah, including it does say the wrestler's legal name, nickname, ring name, likeness, personality, characters. So that is included in the contract.
Right, but not
crazy.
Nickname, but none of that is real.
It says legal name. Name.
Yeah, it says so, legal right. name, so I'm sure it's in there, and it's just these guys need unions, and I kind of believe that if Vince really starts pursuing this hard, he starts knocking people off Cameo and stuff like that. I mean, AEW took a dig at them during All Out. But as Kip Sabian plugged his Twitch, and then they were like, this was approved by AEW on the Chiron. But I think this could be them crossing the line.
I think so, too, because a lot of these Twitch streams and YouTube shows, it's the way that they can express themselves online as themselves and to bar people from doing that. I think for people who have big followings, it's just not acceptable. And also, Kofi Kingston just joined Cameo recently, and he's donating all the proceeds that he gets from Cameo to Shad Gaspard's son.
Right.
So I just think it's kind of a scumbag move to be like, you can't do that.
Right.
Right.
You know? Did you see the promo that Andrew Yang cut on Vince McMahon?
I did on Twitter. I did, and you know, as a member of the Yang Gang, I do like Andrew Yang, though. He seems like a smart dude, and he seems like he's got some good ideas. But yeah, I mean, again, right? A guy, high profile guy like Andrew Yang. The thing about WWE, we've said it before. We saw it during COVID. People don't give two shits about pro wrestling. So Linda McMahon could be in the cabinet, right? Like, this stuff, they make illegal deals with, what's his name? The governor, Rick DeSanto, is that his name? Whatever, the governor, I forgot his name. The governor of Rick DeSantis, Florida. Right? Of Florida.
Yeah.
You know, like, and no one even cares. Wrestling goes under the radar. The only guy who ever cared was John Oliver, always
that's
loves to bring it up.
Say.
Every
well,
like, 6
that
months.
Was the most attention that wrestlers like working conditions ever got was from that John Oliver segment.
Right, but it doesn't stick.
No.
You know what I mean? Like the thing is like, what's the thing that's gonna happen that sticks? Like it's more of just like a piece that's like, this is fucked up and nothing changes. So no one cares. But so this might be where they start, you know, it's always Vince pushing it until he pushes too far where the wrestlers all walk out. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see. I think that this is something that like, you talk about the New Day guys, you're talking about cutting off, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars they make on their streaming. Like, Asuka, they're making a lot of money. Now, is it extra money? It's probably less money. It's definitely, the high-profile guys, it's less money than their contracts. Like, Asuka has a way bigger contract than her YouTube channel is paying her, right? So, obviously, she'll walk away, but, you know, those New Day guys, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know a few people who watch Up, Up, Down, Down and do not watch WWE at all.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And then also, you think about wrestling, you only wrestle for a couple of years. They could have this YouTube stream going for like another 30, 40 years, really. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with the future of where television is going, you know, I don't know. The thing is that we'll see where this goes. Is it opening? It could be an empty threat by Vince just to tell people, like, you know, he might be setting some kind of barrier to get to protect his characters. Because I will say this. I watched a little bit of Asuka's thread one day, like a clip on her Instagram that was from her YouTube. And, like, she has the WWE title in the back. You know what I mean? And if I'm Vince, I understand that bothering me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand anything. But you can't say that Kana can't have a channel. That's
– right.
You know what I mean? And so I don't know, you know. If this was SAG, if they had any kind of union, and I think wrestling should probably be part of SAG, you know, in some kind of own, like, you know, I don't know, the circus SAG or whatever the fuck. Anyway, we'll track this. It's, again, the least. I was like, I had the instinct to be like, hey, let's fuck this topic. But this is about, like, the rights of these wrestlers, and we're in the middle of national crisis, and, like, cutting off more money from wrestlers than you're making record proceeds, and you let a bunch of wrestlers go. Like, it's just right. Something we have to call out, you know?
Totally.
Right.
I mean, right. Vince doesn't like it, clearly.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about this is the first time we can talk about Roman Reigns. We saw the promo. We saw Paul Heyman cut a promo. They opened, as expected, opened up SmackDown. The big dog came out. A new shirt, which I didn't expect so soon. I thought wreck everyone and leave. Do you guys notice that he just keeps saying his promo is essentially the shirt he's wearing?
That,
like,
night, yeah.
He had two SmackDowns in a row where he literally, he was sitting down next to Heyman, and he's wearing a shirt that said wreck everyone and leave. And then he said, I'm just going to come in, wreck everyone, and leave. And they said that's not a prediction, it's a spoiler, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
right.
He wore a shirt that said show up and win.
Right.
And then he literally was like, I'm gonna show up and win. It's like he's a fucking little kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally, like, your script's on your shirt. Reigns,
this
down.
One's Leonardo. This one's Donatello. This one's Raphael. This one's Michelangelo. He's the party dude.
Yeah, he's a party dude, and they all like pizza. believe that's not a prediction, that's a splinter. All right, anyway, I don't know. Oh, folks, super short.
Believe rat.
Believe.
Roman Reigns is always here. Sammy
Guevara. Yeah, so I think that anyway, so we saw this Heyman promo. What did you get? Well, I don't know. I'll throw it over to you guys about this Heyman promo. What did you think? What did you think about Roman Reigns' big heel debut as the champion on Friday Night SmackDown in the Thunderdome?
It was fine. I like Paul Heyman, and it was fine. We get a lot of it was fine.
I liked it. I thought it was kind of fun. You could kind of see the sort of like gears with like Paul Heyman being like, I'm actually going to be quiet this time. I'm going to be like a quiet
I
Paul
mean,
Heyman. I'm not going to yell.
Hear it. I like, yeah, it was a different, like he assumes because he's not the, he has a different role when he's representing
right.
Roman. He's the what? Professional he's counsel.
He's the counsel to the tribal chief.
Special counsel.
Special
to
counsel.
The tribal chief.
So that requires
worry.
A different tenor.
I wrote it
tenor,
down.
A different tenor in his voice.
I was like, I don't want to forget. Yeah, he's the he's the special counsel to the tribal.
He's not advocating. He's counseling. It's different.
Right.
Right.
I wish there was. I wish they came up with like a Samoan word. Like, there's got to be a Samoan word for that. Some like special counsel to the tribal chief. I wish that Paul Heyman was walking around calling himself that for Roman Reigns on Island Time.
Right.
Yeah. That might have been inappropriate, but I would have liked it. Little Papa Shango territory there, but I think. Well, listen. Yeah, you're right. I think he said the raising, defending, undisputed universal heavyweight champion, special counsel to the tribal chief. You know, look, I felt like I watched it. First off, I watched it the first time. I was like, that was cool. That was fine. I was like, it's fine. Some people were like, it was amazing. I thought it was fine.
How do you call it amazing?
I rewatched it, and I walked away the second I watched it, and I was like, all right. And then I rewatched it to be like, wait, why? Why are these guys together? Like, what's the logic here? So I rewatched it. started zoning out in the middle. I you know, not that it's bad, it's cool, but you know, it's like, all right, this was a cool move. Roman doesn't look that comfortable in this heel role. I'll say yet. I think he will click into it. I will give him the benefit of the doubt. But, like, he was talking to Jey Uso later, and he's really struggling to be, like, and I give him the – I'm giving him a little time here because he had to say a line to Jey Uso, who is his real-life cousin. He had to look at him in the face and just be like, yeah, one day you'll be like me. You just come here, win all the time. Like, he had to, like, say,
open
like, this
win.
Ridiculous cocky line to his actual cousin, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he had, and he's not used to doing that, you know what I mean? So right. I think he will click into it. Sami Zayn had a similar trajectory. He was weird, and now he's really clicked it. So I think it'll be cool. But I think where they misfired for me and why I started zoning out is, like, I want to hear why he joined mid-match. That's what I wanted to hear.
You want to address the contract signing?
I said it last week, and obviously, I didn't want to hear exactly what they did, which was Paul Heyman being like, you guys didn't – it was essentially, you guys didn't respect us. You wrote us both off, and now we're together, right? And
right.
The stuff I wanted to hear was like, I've been courting Reigns for years. You heard me talk about how great he was when I was with Brock, and I meant every fucking word of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, when Brock comes back, I want both of these guys. Who could you know, like something like that. Now, like, maybe they can't mention Brock because he's not under contract, but, you know, he'd call him the Beast or be like the other guy or that MMA fighter.
My
guy.
Other what? Client.
Right, my other client. So you'd know what he could say something. So I felt like it became a little generic. The performance was great, but the writing was not my favorite. And it felt like a little – I wasn't into the mad libbing of, like, his old shtick, his Brock shtick. It just, it, you know, and then that went even further into Reigns too, because I was like, oh, I want it to be like, hey, Reigns is like, he brought me in because he's been busting his ass for everybody. And he's like, I don't need to get beat up for people who don't respect me. So I have Heyman here to make my life easier and still win. Like, right? And then I don't know if that was said, it was said in 20 minutes over 5 paragraphs that we didn't need. You know what I mean?
They never really addressed, because, like, we all know that Roman could stand to have a guy like Heyman who talks for him and builds him as a threat, but they never addressed how he got there or why or when the decision was made.
Right.
It was just like, well, we assume you all know that Roman needs this, but, you know, it doesn't never really told us.
Right. And then Reigns is just like, oh, I'm gonna switch it up. And then instead of this is my yard, he says this is my island.
Oh, okay.
How is that?
Well, there's this whole Samoan thing that's going on now, like the tribal Ooh. Chief, the island. He's going to have a match with his Samoan cousin, so I think they're really embracing his Samoan side.
Didn't the Dirts say that this is leading up to a match with The Rock?
Now, look, that's the next thing I was going to say. Jey Uso has this title shot. If that is the plan, nothing not to like about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that could be – you could complain about that as a mark, and you could be like, it's time to get other guys over and all the talking points. But ultimately, as a guy who's been to 5, you know, was supposed to be 6 manias in a row – we all know that if the match is going to be Roman Rock and you get to fucking boo a heel Reigns and cheer for The Rock in the middle of L.A., you know what I mean? Like, that's star booking. It's fantastic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, The Rock is going to come out, get the biggest pop fucking ever.
Huge.
My God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. And then Reigns beats him.
Obviously, Reigns will beat him. And then, I mean, then it's like, who is Reigns not beat? I mean, honestly.
Right.
Who,
like, yeah, just add Rock to that list. That's it.
But do you think about even, like, Reigns, his music hit the bow now, and you're like, yeah, that's his music. But, like, it's, you know, like, if this guy really is the biggest fucking star in this company, like, this is The Rock's music.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Like, This shit gets you, like, going. You know what I mean? Like, he has a whole
run through wall.
Anyway. I won't get to the guitar because I'll zone out too much. But I got to stay focused. But, yeah, look, at the end of the day, I got no problem with a Reigns Rock Mania. Just to get to watch The Rock wrestle again. Mm-hmm. You know he would do it. But, I mean, he shouldn't.
Right.
But he knows that he could survive COVID, so that's a good sign, right?
Yeah,
so anyway, yeah, look, I'm not totally wowed by it. I think that Reigns – listen, I'm not trying to be negative. I don't want to be the guy who, like, shits on Reigns or whatever. I think Reigns will find his stride as a heel. I still think it will be lackluster considering the level this guy is booked in this company.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And did Heyman say raising, or did he misspeak and say raising instead of raining?
Oh, I heard raising.
What does that mean?
Raising.
Like destroying, like, you know, the term raise, like raise something is to, like, tear down a building, to, like, demolish.
That wordplay is too clever for WWE to try to pull off, I think.
Well, it's not too clever for Heyman, though. I mean, Heyman has literally gotten there and said the mourner's Kaddish, like a Jewish prayer. You know what I mean? Like, he really does his own shit. Like, no one knows what the fuck he's talking about with that. So, I mean, a couple of guys get a pass there. All right. So, anyway, we'll see where Reigns goes. He's going to be wrestling Jey Uso, which was a major curveball, but a really great first guy to feed to him for his heel run. He's going to beat the shit out of his family. You know?
Yep. Which, as I imagine, this is where this is going. Like, he's going to keep beating up Samoans he's abandoned the family, and then here comes The Rock to be like, I'm going to put you back in place. Yeah.
Right, but do you think that's really – I don't know if it's actually the plan, because it's happening so early. But you know what I mean? And they don't even know if Mania can exist.
A lot of miles to cover for this Samoan island-themed
There's no way The Rock is committed to Mania right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What does The Rock have coming up? I don't know.
There's just no way, just because of COVID, there's no way he's committed to it, Mania. Like, if we were not in a pandemic, I would buy it. But anyway, all right. Let's move on to talk about Randall Keith, which, by the way, if we get 5 more patrons, you know what happens. You get the special RKO Chebs episode. No one dives deeper than us. But so, all right, here's a small thing. Tell me what you guys think if I'm being crazy. I don't think Drew should be giving claymores in sneakers.
Especially in boots.
Well, I just think it makes the move not feel like it's going to hurt that bad. It's not. Right. It's, you know what I mean? Like, so he's wearing sneakers because he's not in his ring gear.
Right.
Like, he needs to walk around in steel toes because.
Yeah, like put on a pair of Doc Martens. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not
going to make Skechers.
Right.
Well. Think about what that move is. That move's really hard to hurt somebody with sneakers on. You'll hurt them, but I'm talking about
a rubber sole to the
right.
Knock them out like Randy was knocked out.
You need a big, a big heavy boot.
But anyway, they gave Drew McIntyre a week to look strong. I thought it was weird he showed up in an ambulance because it's like. Cause
always like some mode of transportation thing.
Like, I have no problem with that, but he didn't leave. He left in an ambulance last week, so he's been just driving around in it.
Yeah,
these guys don't have insurance, but they use the fucking they use it like a taxi cab, the ambulance.
Right. Yeah. He's been cruising around town, and I think waiting for this for Monday.
Yeah.
making runs.
Yeah.
Picking people up.
Yeah, I was like, all right, that's fucking weird. But anyway, but anyway, so they're booking Drew Strong, but Randy came out, cut a great promo, wrestled Keith Lee again. Keith Lee had the coolest defense of the RKO. I sent it to you guys. Just the fucking huge neck stoppage.
Right. Yeah. The huge neck stoppage.
It's like when people try to pin Big E and they try to lift his leg up for like leverage, and you can't do it with a guy with thighs that big.
No.
You can't, so heavy. You can't RKO a guy with a neck like Keith Lee. You can't do it.
Yeah, like Randy goes for a full RKO jump, tries to blow his head down. He gets it, but Keith's neck is too strong to be pulled down.
And it surprised Randy. He was shocked by that.
Man, I can't get over Keith's terrible gear. It looks so bad.
At least make it match. Like the fact that it's just right? It's like black Under Armour and then his like regular trunks. Yeah. Or let them titties out.
Let them fangs. There's nothing wrong with the fangs.
Yeah. Because it looks good to me.
Right.
He has a clear type. Like it's a he's a huge, big, athletic, fat wall. Like it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like he wrestles perfectly for that style. It's fucking awesome. This is just the thing about the Thunderdome is it looks amazing, and then there's like these small things happening where you're like, guys, come on, let's get it together. Like, Drew shouldn't be claymoring in sneakers, in my opinion. That one's up for debate, but I don't like it. Keith should be like, you should see his body.
Right.
Why are they hiding his body?
It makes him seem insecure. You know?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Wearing a t-shirt at the pool or something.
Yeah, right. Swimming in a t-shirt.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's probably because Vince, I'm sure there's something where he's just like, I don't want that fat fuck on TV. Like, it's probably something like that.
Oh, yeah, it's not probably. It's definitely that, but it's just such a – I mean, we've seen Vince pop Donnie earlier. He's really right. Micromanaging bullshit. But you didn't see him then. But
no, I know.
Yeah. But like but then in the Raw Underground this week – Aleister Black is fighting in like Umbros
and one gym shorts
from Kohl's.
Like, this guy a week earlier looked like fucking Snake from Metal Gear Solid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he had
like even though there are modern eye patches, he had literally like a bandage tied around like a fucking pirate. You know?
Yeah.
And he's got like one leg is his like death leg, and then he goes into the Underground, and all of a sudden he's wearing your exactly end one. I was like,
super cash.
Like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like fully, like just like in like Rucker Park, just draining threes and just fucking.
End one is perfectly what those are.
Yeah.
Exactly like from those mixtapes or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There it is.
I mean, that's Aleister Black. The guy rises in a coffin.
Yeah.
Can we see that picture again, Aaron?
Yeah.
That fist fight in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
Is like, what that is. It's Black Friday. Aleister Black Friday.
They're fighting over the last Roku TV.
Right. The last Roku 4K.
Yeah, there are very little Rokus. welcome to Raw Underground, where there's very little Rokus.
Welcome to Raw Underground, where there are very little
Rokus. Oh, man. But yeah, like, Raw Underground, I really dig. I felt like this week was, like, a little botched because I don't know what's going on with the editing of Raw Underground. They, like, go into it, go out of it. Shane's like, all right, we're going. Mm-hmm. We're leaving. And we're like, wait, and then it gets kind of fun, but it's cool where you're like, oh, Kevin Owens and like, they like to have the same matchup over and over again in wrestling. It happens on AEW also. So it's cool. It's like, oh, it's going to be in the Underground. You found, like, a way to make it different. I thought that was cool. Aleister's a perfect guy to fight there. Kevin Owens, not as much a Raw Underground guy. But
I mean, I liked it. I think that, like, if the goal was to be like, hey, coming up next, we have this match, so don't go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere. I wanted to see it. So, like, whatever that is, it's working, you know. I didn't expect when this, like, Coke-fueled fever dream hit the scene, I didn't expect it to be this cool, but it's, like, my favorite thing on Raw right now.
No, I like it. I thought it was good right away. Like, look, everything in wrestling's a little bad. That's just, like, what the deal with wrestling is. That's why it's so fun to talk about. So, but ultimately, it is working. I don't know where they go with it because you're like, can we have Underground, any kind of structure to Underground so we can it lead to, like, a pay-per-view Underground match or, like, you know what I mean? Or I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. It might just, that might even just ruin it. I'm not sure, but I do find it fun. Let's talk a little bit about Newman's favorite part of the show.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Perfect.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
By the way, just to let you know, that's the sound. You know what? Actually, perfectly, we should go into the cash-ins for this. But I want to give a shout-out to listener Andrew Sparks, who emailed me this sound drop. We were talking about it.
Wow.
He dug back, found it, and emailed it to me.
Oh, wow. What a hero.
It's even more bizarre than I remember.
Yeah. Because he says, I'm going to hell, right? He says, I'll see you in hell. Enjoy the show.
It must be hell
after
in the
that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
That's Jeff Hardy. That was the weirdest promo ever ended in the history. Anyway, this dude, Andrew Sparks, listener of the show, thanks for sending it to me, man. He was saying that it's really hard to find a way to send this to me. I feel like I'm the most accessible guy. He's like, yo, I don't use your fancy YouTubes or Facebook. Anyway, thanks for sending that, man. I love that you found that for me. That is so fucking funny.
That's perfect.
Let's hit a cash in quick to let people know that they can cash in. And both cash ins are, no, one of them's a little over a minute.
Hey, Cow Nation, what's going on? This is Braggy Mac, the producer, Jabroniak, and just want to have three things. First thing, Braun went into that swamp, and what changed him? He came back with a dinosaur accent. Another thing, Cesaro mentioned back on Friday Night SmackDown how there is a championships lounge. I hope that becomes a place at the WWE Thunderdome, because more sites is just better for storytelling. And yet another thing. I love Sami Zayn and how he's exposing how there's still structure to these shows. He asked for the Forerunner. He spoke with someone at the truck. He's just elevating the status. I see belt with the controversy over the whole deal, as well as his promo power. So, anyways, want your thoughts on those matters. Keep up the good work. Cheers up.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Yeah. Yes, I agree that Braun speaks like a dinosaur after going to the swamp. Great for the three things. Try to keep it to one thing. You know what I mean?
three short things, though. It was okay.
Sami Zayn is killing it with this spot of being like still having the old IC title. There's two IC titles saying he's still the champion. I think that's great. And they're throwing AJ in there. So right now you have Zayn cutting these great promos. I didn't hear them mention the championship lounge. I don't remember that. It sounds really cool. But you're going to have Hardy, AJ, and Zayn for the IC belt. There's something always really sweet about IC being like triple threats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really exciting. It makes me want to watch SmackDown. So I dig that. Sami Zayn having a claim to that. I hope Sami Zayn finds a way to really show off his wrestling skills. I mean,
yeah.
Sami Zayn, if you guys remember when he was in NXT, I mean, you know, he was El Generico in the indies and stuff, but he's like known as like a worker, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even remember Sami Zayn like the wrestler, you know, as a guy who like can really go. Remember his sixth match with Cesaro, with Cena? Like, he's had some killer matches. Like, I don't think right now he has the IC title, but I don't feel like people are seeing why at all. And,
I mean, he's like, when he's being like almost like a, he looks like Castro. Looks like Fidel Castro.
Yeah,
like,
well, he's grown his hair out. He's always got the cap and the jacket.
Yeah,
that's his role right now.
He always reminds me of like the the Ducky character. Like I always say that he has like a vibe of like the like the guy who's like put in the friend zone of the lead of the of the like Molly Ringwald character.
Well, I made one of those Pokemon transformations for him, and it was Seth Rogen, Michael Rapaport, and Sami Zayn. So he's in that zone. For
what
me.
Was my mind was Samoa Joe. Tommy Dreamer, and then me?
Yes.
Yes. Samoa Joe.
Yeah. big version of me. But, okay, so let's talk about Retribution a little bit. They cut their first promo, so we're seeing a little bit of Retribution, and we're hearing a little bit of what they said. They said that they kind of said they were disowned and discarded, and WWE left them to survive in an unfair world. And then they said they're going to lay waste and destroy every WWE superstar. And their voices were a little sawed up, you know,
modulated like right. Inside edition interview.
Anonymous and source.
They said we are Retribution, which is either like probably could be throwing you off the NXT scent, you know, because if you like we are NXT. The main guy's clearly Dijakovic, right?
Right.
So there was a still of them standing in the dark that was posted to the WWE Twitter. And another user was like, oh, I brightened the photo and I think this is who it is. And I actually did the same thing on my phone. Like I saved it and I brightened it. And so you can pretty clearly tell who some of these people are.
Oh, right. Who
now
are they?
In the picture? Shane Thorne, Mia Yim,
Dominic,
D.L. Madden, and Caden Carter.
Snooze fest.
Newman, wake up.
What? Oh, sorry. I was having a really bad dream that WWE debuted.
I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. I was having a dream that WWE debuted a faction made of people I don't give a fuck about. And it must have been a bad dream.
Yeah. So Retribution, whatever. You know, look, they're going with the angle we've been discarded, right? They're kind of going with the, like, the classic, like, society doesn't care about us. We're at the bottom. We're going to attack people at the top kind of deal, take you down. Right. That. So if you do that math, the only people that could be are like people cut by the company, or like tag members of like people went solo and had better careers, like Marty Jannetty types. You know what I mean? Not, you know, that's not a great analogy. More like Billy Kay types, right? Like that. So right? I'm not sure.
It's going on too long.
My big problem with Retribution is that, like, if they're here to cause like any kind of chaos, it's very controlled. They show up not on any pay per views. They take off Sundays. They maybe they're Christian. I don't know. I'm not sure. They might be religious.
The Lord's Army.
Which I would love that if they were like. Into Christ, that would be cool. and then but they show up. Basically, they have segments now. Like if you're invading, like you don't have segments. So
So backstage producers like looking at the clipboard. Like, all right, what do we got next? Okay, we're doing the Retribution spot. Fellas, come in.
Right. And if it is NXT, that's fine. I'm fine with it being NXT because that's like the only thing that would be like. That I think that could be kind of fun, but that also doesn't work because there's no structure. I don't need to repeat myself a million times. You'd be like, why are they invading? Like, and who? Then we need to see more Vince and whatever.
Yeah.
Thank God for Adam Pearce being on the show. I think he's not like doing anything. They're not like giving him much to do, but like you're seeing a guy representing the office in the back, which is very helpful to the show that, has like a order of matches and you know what I mean? Like you need to see some kind of order there. So I dig that. I don't know. I don't know. I have nothing to say about Retribution. They're doing what they're doing. Hey, speaking of Billy Kay, how fast are they going to put those two back together?
So it's just going to be like,
I give it 3 weeks.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks. 3 weeks on the,
even
separation.
If they want to push Peyton as a singles run,
yeah.
Like, well, then, like, why Billy Kay on their own? Like, they don't make sense, right? They don't like make sense separate at all.
Like Vince likes Peyton Royce, so he wants to give her a shot. But I just don't think you can afford to split up the Iconics in the women's tag division. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. And why not?
They're such a good team.
Why can't they still be the Iconics? But then Peyton has a singles career
right,
going.
Like
New
how
Day.
Like Big E, yeah, like the New Day. Yeah.
Why, like, completely just dismantle the Iconics brand? I feel like they've spent so much time building it up. They literally won the titles at Mania.
Yeah.
And just to call them their own names, like, it was like Billy Kay came out and she was, like, the femme fatale, and you're like, what?
Peyton's whole thing was super generic, and I think she was wearing her gear was, like, the same gear she wore. It's Iconics gear.
Right.
I don't know.
I've never seen them do that before where at the end of like a match like that where a team splits up where they're actually like cool with each other at the end.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
They're going
because they don't want to be separated.
Right. All right. Johnny Mundo steals the Money in the Bank briefcase from Otis.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like is the inevitable. What are they going to do about that mistake? Yeah. Because you can't. Well, it's not that it's a mistake. It's just that, like, Otis is not going to cash in and win the title over Roman Reigns.
Right.
Well, they're not going to even let him goofily take the title off him. And over, like, a Drew or Randy, whoever ends up being the champion. Like, they're right now going for, like, they're in the big-time champion zone. Mm-hmm. This right. is not like when they're, like, Jinder Mahaling, they're goofing around. They're, like, you know, even like Kofi or whatever. They're not, you know, they're going for like the huge hoss guys. Like they're so it's interesting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, does he go for the main title or does he go for like Intercontinental or does he like, do they take it off of him in some weird way? Like, I don't even know what they would, how to salvage it.
Well, I actually don't know this question. What is the briefcase? Can you steal it and use it? I actually don't know if there's a precedent for that. I know that the briefcase has been lost in matches. I think I've seen Edge win the briefcase away from somebody else in a match.
Uh-huh.
Use it. I think I've seen that. I don't remember when that was. But I've definitely seen the briefcase on the line in a match. But I don't think I've ever seen somebody just – you could steal it and use it. But I imagine in kayfabe, the briefcase has a contract in it.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when you go up there and you take it, there's never any formal, like, signing it over to you. It's because right. you actually physically have it. So I do right. think you can take it and use it.
Right.
I think it's like, you're supposed to guard it with your life. And it's supposed to be kind of handcuffed to you.
Yeah, right? It's like a blank check. It's like the inside is just like – it's like the – this contract grants the holder of said contract to a match for the championship belt whenever the holder redeems said contract.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Letterman a specific language. Yeah.
Because I know Letterman looked a lot into this when he drafted the Cal Money
right,
in the Bank.
Right, right, right.
It's based off of the contract, I believe. I'd
so
be looking into that.
The for Cal Money in the Bank briefcase. Could someone steal it from Tulo?
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure because this kind of went down right as COVID hit and then our priorities have been other places. And I know Tulo was handcuffing it to his hand. So
yeah, I saw that.
So I don't have a copy. I don't have a copy of that contract. It was done behind my back, which you guys know.
Yeah.
So we'll look into that. But I don't know how it works for WWE. I imagine that ours would probably follow a similar ruling. So
we have to get our special counsel, Adam Letterman.
Right.
Yeah. But John Morrison does feel like a really cool guy to have the briefcase because, like, John Morrison is a guy to cash in and also a guy, like, if you book John Morrison in the title picture, I think people won't be that excited for it. But if he, like, comes into the title picture and he just does what he does, which is what, like, he's like a fucking artist, you know?
Right.
And no one does
what
he could do. You'd be like, oh, that makes sense. He's never going to, like, mic his way into those positions, though, you know?
Right.
So,
he's going to double backflip his way into those positions.
Right. He's going to parkour his way into those positions. Dominic always works.
Dominic Mysterio.
Like, the thing is, like, they're definitely beating this angle to death, and I'm not sure, like, why Vince is not pivoting into some new stories already yet. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the logic is there. It's like, where's Seth go from here, and why they're still dealing with the Mysterio family. I'm not exactly sure, but all that being said, Dominic gets over, man. Like, Dominic exceeds, you know, he comes in there and he puts on a fucking decent show, and the Mysterio family really works. I don't know. It's a good time.
Yeah.
I like it.
He needs a little, obviously, needs a little work on the stick, but.
The stick and the physique, obviously. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When they use him in this work shoot way, that's like, it's his real family, it's his real dad, it works. Obviously, you start. I don't know what else you could do with him, and it's great to get at Ray beating his ass, always gets you over. But I don't know, just another good – I don't know how many more weeks they have left of this, you know?
Yeah, well, there's how many weeks they have left, and there's how many weeks they're going to take. And there, it's probably another month of this, right, at least.
Right. How many more Mysterio family members can we add to the mix, you know?
Right. How many are there? How many are there? Because that's how many they're going to add.
Cousins.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, aunts, I mean, uncles. We have to ask Inosh because he's our 619 correspondent.
Oh, true.
All right, it finally happened. Bayley turned on Sasha, and we saw it. Where are you guys at? Are you excited for this? How did you feel about this moment? Yeah.
I was actually, I mean, I knew it was coming. I think everybody did, but it caught me by surprise. They got me. I didn't see it coming.
To actually do it. It's kind of, you kept, like, they definitely worked you, like, I agree, like, they definitely worked me into the thing of, like, oh, they keep getting me a place where I think they're going to do it, and then they don't do it, so it's hard to be like, they're going to do it.
I was surprised they pulled the trigger this early. I thought they were going to wait until maybe closer to the next big pay-per-view.
Right, so they did do it, and I was definitely surprised.
It was also like a long beatdown, which was surprising too. It wasn't just like a shove, knocked her down and left the ring. It was a whole savage.
Yeah.
I did love her yelling at Michael Cole. Like, is it boss time, Michael Cole? Right. Is it boss time now?
I don't know. It's boss time. That's one of their most
big dog.
Those are the two that he does the same every time. Like, it's the big dog, and it's boss time. Look, the storytelling's obviously pretty good here. It's good. Yeah. It's long-term. It's good. I get into it. My only beef is, like, does this mean Sasha is babyface now? I guess in that matchup, she is the babyface of the two, right? Yeah. But, like, I really don't want any Sasha babyface work. You know what I mean? So that's what I was worried about the whole time. I was like, these two really work as heels. Yeah. So turning them on each other is cool, but I hope they make it like two just like vicious people like going at each other. And then I hope they give Sasha the title, which I do believe is the plan. The plan is Sasha goes over and then she finally has her like big long run. But I hope those two can have a match like that NXT, those NXT matches they used to have. Like, it would be great for them, for us to see Bayley and Sasha turn heads in ring like that, you know?
Did they have, they had an Iron Man match, right? In NXT, didn't they?
They had that
the
ladder match
or a cage match or something.
They had the ladder match in Barclay. And then I think you're right. I think they had a 30 minute Iron Man match.
Yeah.
In NXT. I know Tulo's probably lost his shit over it.
Oh, definitely.
I'll talk to him about it on the bonus episode. You know, whatever. It was good. I mean, it was good. It was a good beatdown for Bayley. You know, I struggle to care about Bayley. We talk about this a lot,
Bayley. Yeah.
Poor
Pam. She's not for me. Pammy.
Finn Balor gets, we're going to talk more NXT AEW on the bonus episode, but let's talk about the big story here. Finn Balor gets demoted to become the NXT champion from being the Universal champion. No. So they made Finn Balor the NXT champion, which if you've listened to the bonus episodes, I mean, he makes absolutely no sense in NXT unless he's the champion.
Right.
Like, when he has the championship, it makes sense. He looks like $1 million. When he's down there not as the champion, you're like, all right, Finn, what are you doing, bro? Right. Time to go back up to the main roster. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather him be the IC champ than just be doing nothing in NXT. Like, he didn't even have, like, he didn't – I mean, I know we had COVID, so I don't know what it was, but he didn't have any kind of gimmick going of, like, I wrestle someone every week. I'm here to, like – show these NXT people like how to, you know, he like started like, right. He was just like an NXT mid carder, right?
Andrew Dice Clay. I'm over here now.
Yeah. I'm over here now. First I was over there. Now I'm over here. Now. So Finn is the champ. Feels pretty dope. NXT being on Tuesday is a godsend.
That's the move. So do we know, is that permanent now?
I think so.
Is every Tuesday Super Tuesday?
Well, no, because they said it's Super Tuesday too. So I actually have no idea. That's the thing that's so confusing, because even AEW tonight, when they went off the air, they were literally like, all right, we'll be like next week. We might be on Wednesday or Thursday.
I guess it depends on how the NBA playoffs work out.
Right. That's because the real sports, which for some reason gets in the way here. But their numbers were better when it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It was so nice to watch AEW and know I'm not missing NXT at the same time. Because I can watch, but there is like part of what's cool about wrestling and part of why wrestling's value to why it's wrestling sells higher than the numbers of viewers it gets is because there is an excitement of watching it live where you're like, you know, every time you watch it wrestling the next day, it's less exciting.
Right.
It loses
and that. I think going up against I think it's for a lot of people, right? Like if they don't also have an AEW to watch, they're going to watch NXT on Tuesday.
Right. So yeah, apparently it's helped both shows. Like their ratings were higher when they were on separate days. It's just better for wrestling. So I'm excited. And that Monday, first off, Tuesday is just like the day where like after I watch Raw, I'm pretty much like, oh, I'll watch the next day. I get in the mood because it leads for us. It leads up to the podcast. When the show starts, like SmackDown is the worst day possible for wrestling for us because the pod's over.
Right.
It's leading into the weekend. So I watch SmackDown most of the time. Lately, I've been watching SmackDown after Raw.
You wait.
Interesting.
I've watched the past couple weeks, I think. I don't know if this is for sure, but I've watched, except for, like, I watched the Reigns promo. I started SmackDown, but most of the time I'm like, it's already Monday, so I'd rather see Raw when it's new because SmackDown's already old.
Right.
And some stuff's already been spoiled for me.
Yeah.
Right. I've already seen the main stuff. So, Yeah. So I don't know. I hope it stays like this. How do you guys feel about Aaron, what is that show that Cody promoted at the end of AEW?
It's like the big show.
It's like Bert Kreischer hosting a talent contest at a drive-in theater. And Cody,
it's the most extreme. It's the Go Big Show, excuse me,
right.
And it's the most. It's an extreme talent show.
Okay,
and
which
Cody Rhodes is on the judging panel. Rosario Dawson, Snoop, and
Permanent.
His name. It's a TBS show. Yeah,
Permanent Deus.
Guys, Rosario Dawson took this job.
Yeah,
I mean. Like
I don't know.
Her agents need to get fired. I mean, look, I know that
it's
we're in the middle of COVID.
Piece.
People want to work, but I mean, even Snoop, but like, whatever, fine. It could be a big show, but who knows? Whatever, but like, it's like good for Cody. He gets to be on a panel with Rosario Dawson. I mean, that's a big jump. She's a pretty respected actress, you know.
What was the last thing she was in?
Daredevil,
I think. She was the nurse in Daredevil
within
the Marvel Netflix universe.
Silver screen, though. Like, what was she in, like, movie-wise? Gosh. Sin City?
Power. Sin City.
Yeah.
Booker's Condo.
What is that?
She's with Cory Booker. You didn't know that?
The politician?
Yeah. They've been together for a while.
I thought she was with, like, Ryan Gosling or something.
Rosario I also thought Cory Booker was gay. Am I wrong?
Pete.
Yeah, obviously.
Mayor Pete is gay.
No, I knew Mayor Pete is gay, but Cory Booker, I thought that was like a kind of an unspoken thing. Oh,
no.
I just had
he's
that.
With Rosario.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, he didn't do well as a presidential candidate. I don't know why I thought he was gay. There was speculation on that, right? I didn't just make that up.
I think you just made that up.
I have to Google this.
You can find it. But she's been in, let's see, recently.
I can't wait for Dan's phone to, like, when he types in Cory Booker for like the suggestion on Google to be like, is gay? Question mark, like already filled in.
Here, 2013, USA Today, Cory Booker's sexuality becomes issue in Senate race. So he might be bisexual. All right, who cares about that?
I don't know. It shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, all right, I'm just saying I didn't make that up.
Well, she's in Mandalorian season two, so she's kind of, her agents aren't that bad.
Okay, so she's doing all right.
Yeah.
She's but I feel like she was in Rent.
But she was in Rent. She was in Zombieland Double Tap recently.
Listen, I'm not saying
she's
that
in a lot of stuff, but not as much like prestige material, I think, as you might think.
Well, I'm not career shaming her in any way, shape, or form, okay?
Mm.
I'm just saying that show feels a little carny for her. That's all. That show feels more like, you know,
when I
belong.
She was a judge. yeah, you should be hosting. When I saw she was a judge, I was surprised. I mean, the show seems carny, and Cody's on the judging panel, but, like, I don't know. Snoop is...
I mean, Snoop Dogg, Cody Rhodes, Rosario Dawson,
Jennifer Nettles.
This seems like a
weird comedy person, I think.
This is like a dream. This is like, I was like building a go-kart with like Rosario Dawson, Cody Rhodes, and Snoop Dogg.
I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Jeff Hardy's hosting.
Jennifer Nettles is a country singer. I thought she was a comedian. I thought I recognized her from TV. She's a country singer. So they're appealing to the people who would like to see monster trucks like jumping over, you know.
I say, hey, good looking.
Is there monster trucks? Are there monster trucks promised in the show?
There's definitely monster trucks in the promo. A lot of flames, people doing like weird body mod stuff, like balancing swords on their eye sockets and shit. It's extreme.
I mean, look, it's going to be a good time, whatever. I don't know why I'm shaming Rosario. Everyone should work is work. What I really wanted to bring up was how it pertains to this podcast. Two things. Mm-hmm. And then I'll save the rest of this for the bonus podcast. But is two things. First thing is Cody. This is Cody's kind of a jump to the mainstream for Cody. Which is very cool. And I said to Aaron, I was like, yo, tell Brandy to keep fucking Cody away from Rosario Dawson. Because Cody is a fucking stud.
He's a stud. And he's cute. He's got that cute lisp that I really like. Yeah.
That's not helping. That's not helping.
That's not helping
with Brandy either. But I don't know. I think it helps some people. I think it's sexy. So
I love that tat now because he's just had it, but it is a weird tattoo for him to have.
I'm from like Dirt Town, USA, so that kind of thing, you know, appeals to me.
I would love. Well, you think I would look good with that if I had exactly the nightmare tattoo?
You couldn't be buried in a Jewish cemetery if you got a tattoo, which I know is really important to you.
it's
all that matters to me. You guys could kick my dead carcass if you want. I believe in science. But listen, okay, here's the other point I brought up. I was just like, yo, I hope that helps Cody be like a more mainstream star. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I hope that. Yeah. It is on TNT, which is a problem. What?
It's on TBS.
Oh,
different
TBS.
Network.
That's good. Mm-hmm. TBS is more legit than TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other thing is that the way it was broadcast was fucking weird. They were like, we're going to have a special announcement from Cody.
When I saw it was a commercial, I was like, what?
Yeah, they're like, he was in kayfabe. He's been hurt from Brody Lee and broke kayfabe to kind of be like, yo, I'm hurt right now, guys. But you know what's not hurting? People need to see weird talent. Right? And then it was like, and I know it's like, we'll let it go because it's a TNT thing. But don't tie it into the show. Like, don't be like, we have a special announcement. Like, we literally just watched the match from push back on the network for that shit. Like, we just watched Brody. One of your titles called the TNT title. They're happy. We just watched Brody Lee like decimate your brother, and then you're like, hey, like make it not feel live, make it feel like something that was shot earlier, like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hurt my rib, but you know, it's not a rib. These talents, and
He literally said, like, right now I'm injured. But it's like, you don't look injured, man. You look totally fine.
I'm injured.
I mean, I'll get past it. Whatever. Anyway,
do you guys have any extreme talents that you think you could display on the Go Big Show? Can you make it down to Georgia to this taping?
Is podcasting 8 times a week a talent?
I think that's pretty extreme.
Okay. Do you think Rosario Dawson wants to watch me podcast for eight
if
times
they
a week?
Could see this, they would give us the $100,000 grand prize.
I love it. That's not a big enough prize.
I know, like after taxes.
My extreme talent is the restraint that I show every day to not just like hit people in the head with a brick because they piss me off.
That is extreme.
Wow. So, all right, Aaron, I said you can kick my dead body. Newman said he wants to hit people with a brick. Aaron, we're getting dark here. We're getting angry.
I think like I could probably like hold a stress position, like some torture shit for a long time. I think I can handle it. Yeah. I have a strong will.
Like waterboard? Wow. You can be waterboarded.
I
can
be waterboarded. Yeah. I can do the thing from that movie that we watched where you have to like put your hands on the wall and like lean. I could do that.
Oh yeah, one bedroom.
Yeah, one bedroom. I could. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, I tried it. I was like, oh, I could do this for days.
Oh,
I could eat like 3 or 4 Pizza Hut pizzas in a sitting.
That's extreme.
That's extreme. Anyway, speaking of extreme. Yeah. So on the AEW NXT-centric podcast for this week, starring me, Rosario Dawson, and Nick Tulo. We just signed Rosario Dawson, by the way, to the Patreon.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to get at least 5 patrons with that bump.
We're going to be talking and about – we're talking
her career more. Is just in the shitter.
We'll talk about Finn Balor, Cole, we'll talk about that match. We'll talk specifically about their moment of respect to Sweeting, the fallout of that match, Cole's reaction to it. We'll talk about a guy who, I don't know if he's on one of my guys' watch list, an NXT wrestler, but a guy who I've been saying I dig him for a while, who did some nice work, really good stuff. We're talking about that. I'll leave you in suspense there. The patrons deserve some knowledge, okay? And they're already getting Rosario Dawson. We'll talk about them trying to turn Velveteen Dream heel by just piping in booze because he's a pedophile, which is weird. We'll talk about
what a shame.
Mercedes Martinez versus Rhea Ripley, the cage match, and we'll talk a lot about the antics of Mr. Robert Stone. NXT with I feel like I know Tulo's going to say it, arguably a better week than NXT. And we'll talk about Miro Rusev's debut in AEW and MJF's promo this week, which I thought was pretty good. And we'll talk about the Young Bucks, Kenny's first good week, first good outfit, everything AEW NXT. There's a lot to say. So follow us over to the Patreon. Literally, we're talking about $5 a month, which is really not nothing, but if you got it and you're listening every week, consider supporting us, you know what I mean? So go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling and listen to all our episodes right now. Also right now for free, you can listen to the Dan Black Attack podcast, where Aaron and I talk about the news on in the regular guy news, the least pretentious name in news. And this week we're talking about Trump rallies where boats sink,
super spreading
events where Jericho Fozzie performs at, and how they track that. And we're answering your questions. We have quite a contentious email from a listener.
And a little teaser for next week's RGN. We received another follow-up in the mailbag.
Ooh.
From the guy. Yeah.
Based on what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, check that out. Dan Black. Was you pissed?
Mm-mm. It was nice.
It was respectful? All right.
It was really nice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Shout out to our listener.
He came at me hot the first time.
It was great, though. It was great discussion.
Okay, great. Check that out on the Dan Black Attack podcast. That's out now. And also, if you haven't listened to my interview with David Arquette and Nick Weiger, we're talking wrestling, PWG, everything. Definitely listen to one of me talking to David Arquette if you're a wrestling fan, because I felt like a little kid. I asked this guy like exactly the shit I want to ask him. So make sure to check that out and join the Patreon, okay? And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. of wrestling. I listen up
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.